Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, A God of second chances. And you have to remember that he's a God of second chances. I don't care how many times you fail, how many times you've been bent over. God is kind of God, like he kind of just pick you, not that he go along with it, but he kind of pick you up, just like a mother, you know. She just picks the child back up, dust him back off. Tell them, go out there and try riding that little tricycle again. Don't just give up on them. That's the kind of ministry that God has placed on us, brothers and sisters. He's a God of second chances. He gives people second chance. And look at you. Look no further than you. That's why the grace of God is so important. Welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Louis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. We have a word of prayer, and then we're going to get into the lesson. Heavenly Father, we come with thanksgiving in our hearts. We thank you for being a God that heals us. Your word says that in Colossians 1, 21, 22, Jesus is Lord over my life. So therefore, sickness and disease have no power over me. I'm forgiven, and I'm free from sin and guilt of that goes along with it. I'm dead to sin, but alive to Christ because he bore our sickness. Trust me, he hung on the cross. And when he did that, I mean, he carried our pains. He bore our sickness and carried our pains. I thank you, Father God. No evil shall befall near us, or no plague come near our dwelling. For you have given your angels charge over us, charge to keep us in your way, keep us in your pathway. I thank you, Father God, for healing us. I thank you, Father God, for allowing us to be your children. I understand, Father God. You're God of second chances. Ooh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for being a God of second chances. Because I think about how many times I've been down and I get up and I go down and I get up. And somehow, some way, Heavenly Father, you see it's necessary to pick me back up, dust me off, and let me go on. I thank you. I thank you for being a God of second chances and a God who manifest his word through us, because at some point in time we were never ever worthy after we sinned, after man sinned, and we had to be born into that mess. But you were the kind of God that you healed us. You didn't hold it to us. What other folks does, you don't hold it against us. And I thank you for it. I thank you, Father God, for that abundant life you've given us. So we receive it right now through your word, Father God. that abundant life flow in all of us and through all of our being. That abundant life will flow through every organ, through every part of our bodies, in our spirit, because the Bible declared and decreed that in Galatians 3:13, we've been redeemed from the curse. So it can flow through us, through our body. We can have that restoring power in us. I thank you, Father God, for giving us that restoring power. You're restoring us day by day, restoring our mind, restoring our body, restoring our way of thinking. I thank you, Father God, for on yesterday that you let us know that even though we haven't always trust you, and even though sometimes it's hard to trust you because of our education, because our intellect, but Father God, you're a God of second chances, and you allow us to see it. And you allow us to see the errors of our ways. You allow us to see that. So you can give us another chance and say, okay, all you that labor, come unto me. I will give you rest. I thank you, Father God, for that we can trust you like that. We can trust you with all of our hearts because you are a God of second chances. Thank you, Father God, for those that are asking for prayer. We put ourselves in agreement with them as long as within the word of God. We do put ourselves in agreement with them. And I thank you, Father God, because I know one day we all shall wear our crown because we've been faithful unto death. Thank you. May you unstop the ears of those that are deaf today. As for when it comes to your word, I pray, Father God, that you open those eyes that are blind spiritually, that they'll be able to see. Pray, Father God, that the anointing will transcend into their living rooms, into their cars, wherever they may be. I believe in it. I thank you, give you the praise and the glory for it. And we ask all these blessings in Jesus' name. And pray, says we pray. And everybody agrees, said amen and amen. Hallelujah. Okay. We've been talking about our ministry, and our ministry is the ministry of reconciliation. And with that being said, listen, brothers and sisters, God does not want us to be ignorant to these things. We got to understand that he has blessed us with his grace. You got to understand that God's plan is of the spirit. See, God has a spiritual plan, not a physical plan. That's why in 2 Corinthians 5, I think it's 16, I'm going to, let's see here. Oh, okay. I'm going to ask Evangelist William, do you have your messenger Bible? And you can read it out of there, if you will, please.
Okay, Pastor. One moment.
Okay. Well, I'm going to read it out of King James first. Then you can read it out of the messenger Bible. Okay. 2 Corinthians. I guess I need to go find it. Thank you. 2 Corinthians 5. See, I was going to quote it, but the Lord said go and read it. So I'm going to go and read it. 2 Corinthians 16, it reads like this: wherefore, henceforth, know no man after the flesh, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now we know him no more.
Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:16 in the Messenger Bible reads, because of this decision, we don't evaluate people by what they have or how they look. We look at the Messiah that way once and got it all wrong. As you know, we certainly don't look at him that way anymore. Amen, amen.
See, how you looking at a thing, how you perceive a thing. Our next scripture is going to be 1 John 2:16, I John 2:16. Let me say this, brothers and sisters. At one time, we saw everything in the flesh. God don't want us living in the flesh. We are spiritual beings having human experience, but that's not what God want us to see. That's not how he want us to see. That's how the enemy want us to see things, is in the flesh. Because I'll tell you, if I don't close my eyes to something, I would get very angry. And I can give you a whole list of things. And y'all probably could give me that same list, too. It's enough going on in the flesh to make you very, very angry. Why is it that you're killing all these little black boys, but you're a little white boy running down the street with an AKR-40? So don't, you know, it's just so much going on in the flesh, in the world, that we have to see things after the spirit. Even though you have known Christ, he said, don't know him like that no more. Don't know him. Stop knowing people after the flesh. Because, see, you won't be able to witness if you continue to know people after the flesh. Can I say that one more time? You won't be able to continue to be a good witness. Not for the Lord. You won't be able to do it. That's where he says, wherefore, henceforth. So I want to go back for a moment just to show you what's going on. And we're going to get to 1 John 2:16 in a moment. For the love of Christ constrained us, because thus judge that in one died all, then were all dead. And that he died for all, that they which should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto them which died for them and rose again. So that should be our mission. So the 15th verse says, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. So even though you know God like that, don't know God like in the flesh. Don't know Jesus hanging on some stinking cross. Whoop, preachers, don't say that. Well, that's what the Bible just said. Don't know him after the flesh. So all those people walk around here with supposed to be Jesus on that cross, take it off. Throw it away. Don't let that be a reminder of who Jesus is. Don't let that be a reminder of who you serving. You're not serving. That's a defeated Christ. That's where defeated Jesus. But Christ rose from the dead. See, that's how we got to know him, in the spirit, as a risen Christ, as a victorious Christ. When he was on that cross, he was a lamb dying. Couldn't help himself. He was a lamb. But when he rose, all power was in his hand. And could nothing or nobody stop him then. Couldn't kill him. He chose to give up his life then so he could live again in the spirit. Now, with that being said, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Hallelujah.
Yes, 1 John 2:16 reads from the Message Bible, particularly everything that goes on in the world, wanting your own way, wanting everything for yourself, wanting to appear important, has nothing to do with the Father. It just isolates you from him. Amen.
Yeah. Listen, brothers and sisters, we're no longer dead to the flesh. That has to become subtle with you. The redemption. You have to know that death has been accomplished. Abolished. I'm sorry. Death has been abolished. Christ abolished death when he rose. That's why he is victorious. For all that is in the world, it's worldly stuff. Worldly churches, people who teaching a worldly gospel, people that teach it, it's okay to lust after the flesh or after these things. He said the eyes is the pride of life. That's kind of like what I was trying to say a moment ago. When you start looking at things through the eyes or through the natural, you won't see the things of God. And we read a scripture on yesterday that I think it was over there in 1 Corinthians. I think it was in 1 Corinthians 2, somewhere over in there. But the thing is it, brothers and sisters, you have to remain spiritual, see, because if not, you're going to see things in the flesh, and that means you're going to be foolish. That's what he said. I didn't say that. The Word of God said that. So it's important that we understand that we have to understand spiritual things with spirit. That's how you have to understand it. Because if you continue to believe in the flesh only because your optical nerve can see it. Look how many people believe. They only believe what they can see. That's all. So when you out witnessing and sharing the Word of God, your eyes will take over and say, nah. It'll tell your head, nah, don't witness. Don't say nothing. Or it can be somebody could call you and the Spirit will tell you, stop witnessing to that person. And you may not want to because the flesh took over. And you began to see that thing in the flesh. Not in the spirit, but in the flesh. But remember, that's when you're becoming worldly minded. Lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye. See, that's the pride of life. So pride jumped in right then and said, wait a minute. I'm not going to do that. You don't need to do that. I ain't no preacher. I ain't no disciple. Satan give you all this stuff to say and to think. That's the pride of life. You jumped into your pride instead of saying, I'm dying. I'm dead. That person, they need to know Christ. They need to know who Christ is. Not who I am. I'm dead. But they need to know who Christ is. So you introduce them because your job as an ambassador is to be there for Christ. You know, here you got a mission to do, and God sends, for instance, let me show you. America sends you to, I don't know. He sends you to, America decide to send you to Russia. And you get over there, and you see all these people got on these big boots and guns and da-da-da-da, and your feelings get in the way. You say, no, I ain't gonna tell them that. No, your job is to go tell them that. You're an ambassador. You represent America. All America is behind you. Because that's what an ambassador, they're representing their country. Well, that's the same thing with us. God has given us this grace to go and represent him. But you have to know that this grace is of God, man. So the next scripture I'm going to share, and I'm only doing this because I want to point out something. I wanted to go back to the other part, but the Lord told me to point this out. In Romans 5, chapters 5, verses 1 and 2, and I do this for your sake. I do this because I want you to understand that the Word of God God has to be in control. He has to show you this stuff. He's telling me to go to Romans 5. So I'm going to go to Romans 5, and I'm going to go to verses 1 and 2. Therefore, being justified of faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Hallelujah.
Romans 5, 1 and 2, Messenger Bible reads, by entering through faith into what God has always wanted to do for us, set us right with him, make us fit for him. We have it all together with God because of our Master Jesus. And that not all, we throw open our doors to God and discover at the same moment that he has already thrown open his doors to us. We find ourselves standing where we always hoped we might stand, out in the wild open space of God's grace and glory, standing tall and shouting our praise. Amen.
Listen, brothers and sisters, thank you so much, Evangelist William. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, the scripture says, to whom he shall input it, we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offense and was raised again for our justification. Now, I want y'all to hear that. He did that so we could be justified. See? So when you get into Romans 5, 1, not going to make a lot of sense. So he said, therefore, being justified by, our faith make us right. Now, how many times you in the building? Now, how many times you on the usher board? Now, how many songs you sing? Now, that doesn't do anything for you. You are justified by faith. Justified means made right. Get it, brothers and sisters? So when you preaching or teaching or sharing the word with somebody, let them know that they are justified by faith. So their faith in the word of God, they trust in that word. That we're going back to yesterday. You're trusting God. You're not leaning to your own understanding, but you're acknowledging God's word in all your ways. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, that's the only way you're going to have peace anyway with God. And I ain't talking about man peace. I'm talking about God peace. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace. That same grace that's sufficient, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Listen, brothers and sisters, you are justified. You are being brought into a place of peace. And remember, the peace of God is different from any other peace. It surpasses all understanding, Philippians 4 and 7 says. You can read that too, Evangelist William, at the Messenger Bible, if you will. And let me know when you get it. Philippians 4 and 7. See, it helps you to keep your composure. You are not shaken by earthly things. Every time something goes on, it don't move you, because you know what you're trusting in. You know who you're trusting in. So you keep your composure. You are not shaken by these things. You don't care about no wars, rumors of wars. You don't care about them talking about they're going to shut up the government, because you know God is going to take care of you. He'll have ravens to bring you food. Yeah, that's the kind of God you're serving. You have deep peace created by the knowledge of a living faith, which is the living principles of the foundation of all truth. Christ is in us the hope of glory. Yeah, that's what the scripture says.
Yes, Pastor, I have Philippians 4 and 7, Message Bible read. Before you know it, a sense of God wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displays worry at the center of your life. Amen, amen.
Yeah. See, that peace God puts in you and said it's all right. You ain't worried. Let them worry. Wherever you go. I've known people who was afraid to go in the elevators. And they start trusting God. Maybe they didn't know they was trusting God. But they got in it and closed their eyes. And when they knew anything, they was 100 stories up. I've known people who couldn't go out and look over a plank. I've known people who couldn't go through a car wash. Yeah. But the God of peace enter into your heart and tell you it's okay, I got you. Brothers and sisters, that's what we have to do. That same peace when we're witnessing, when we're sharing the word of God and telling people about God's grace, how amazing it is, and using it and watching people get delivered and set free. It passes all understanding. Yeah, Peter called it precious faith. Remember over there in 2 Peter 1 and 1? Peter called that the precious faith. It's precious, man. When you put faith in the word of God, it has passed through Abraham, Jesus, the Father, the Holy Spirit. We have access. We have a right to it. You have a right to that grace. Oh, preacher. You got a right to that grace. You got a right to God's unmerited favor. And don't get me into preaching up in here, because the seed of Abraham, when Lazarus was begging from the crumbs that fell from the master's table, he said, after all, the dogs, listen, brothers and sisters, see, when you recognize who you are and you have access to it, he knew he had access to the crumbs that fell. And if you think about it, you get enough crumbs, you got a slice. You got enough slice, you have a loaf. So sometimes we want to get the big stuff. No, just worry about the little stuff. Take care of the little things. Put one, get out here and be like Michael Jordan, and you won't even dribble the ball, but you're ready to be like him. No, take care of the little bitty things. I was watching a football game, and instead of this guy faking the ball, he just going to go through the motion. He didn't go through the little details he needed to do to make the defensive back, hope I ain't losing nobody, make the defensive back think he didn't have the ball. He didn't try to fool the guy. And that's what the whole play was about. Fool that guy right there coming for you. Make him think that guy got the ball. He'll run at him instead of you. But when you don't go through those little bitty details, that guy said, oh, he ain't got no ball. You got the ball. Boom, he went right to him. See? A lot of times, we got to pay attention to the details. God have given us access to this grace. But here's the small thing. You got to know it's through faith. You got to know that it's through the faith that God has allowed us to operate in it. I guess that's why I just praise God, man. Because it's through him we may know grace. Yeah. I'm going to read something. I'm going to ask Evangelist William. Read 1 Peter 1 and 1.
Peter 1 and 1 from the Message of Bible.
I'm sorry, 2 Peter. Did I say 1 Peter or 2 Peter?
1 Peter.
Yeah, read 2 Peter. I think that's right.
2 Peter.
Uh-huh.
2 Peter 1 and 1.
Yeah, 2 Peter 1 and 1.
2 Peter 1 and 1. I, Simon Peter, am a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. I write this to you whose experience with God is a life-changing as ours, all due to our God's straight dealing and the intervention of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen, amen.
And I let her read the second one after I read this. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained, who have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God, our Savior, grace and peace be multiplied through the knowledge of God and of our Lord, or of Jesus our Lord. So now read the second verse.
2 Peter 1 and 2 read, grace and peace to you many times over as you deepen in your experience with God and Jesus our Master. Amen.
Peter is urging us, if you will, to get to some kind of way, obtain that like precious faith. Now, I know a lot of this stuff I don't have to break down to you, but I want you to see the simplicity of it. Man, how can I get a sweater like that? Well, you got to go online. Or how can I get a dress like that? Or you got to go to Alabama. Oh, how can I get a car? How can I get my car did like that? Oh, you got to go down there to Savannah, Georgia. Well, what are you saying, preacher? Sometimes you got to go out your way to obtain things. It ain't right there for you. So you got to do something. So when you see that word obtain, I mean, hey, man, you may have to do something. To them who have obtained like precious faith, you went through something to get this faith. Because it's precious. When you learn to trust the word of God beyond what you feel and what you think, that's where you began to see God's righteousness and not man's righteousness. That's when you began to see God's stuff and not man's stuff. So that's why he said, man, may this grace that God's showing us, may it be multiplied. May that peace stays with it and be multiplied and in terms of knowledge. Feelings have nothing to do with this. So it passed through Abraham. It passed through Jesus. It passed through the Father. And the Holy Spirit have access. We have a right into it. That's all I'm trying to show you. We have an open door to all that the Father has, all that Jesus has, all that the Holy Spirit has. Nothing can keep us out of it. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end, according to Revelation 1 and 8. Through him, we have made known the grace, favor, mercy, which will lift us and take us through into grace and peace. See, grace and peace be multiplied to you in knowledge and in Jesus Christ to do. So you have to ask yourself, do I want that to be multiplied? Of course you do. That way you'll be able to share the word with people. You need that God's grace to do that. And may it be multiplied. You have it if you're there to believe. And that's why I just challenge people. I dare you to believe. You have the right to the promise. You have the right to the inheritance that is in Christ. That's in the spirit. It's your right, man. So when you're ambassador, when you operating in the ministry of reconciliation, that's what you operate in. That's exactly what you operate in that grace. Okay. Then you got access to it through faith. And it works. Well, we'll come to that part where if anybody have anything they like to share, press 1, and we'll let you in. Any comments on anything? Anybody have anything to say? Just press 1. Bless God. Hallelujah. Okay. If not, hey, we're going to look forward to seeing you guys on the review. Anybody? If not, we'll see y'all for the review on Sunday.